From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, November 20th. I'm Jonathan Aul, in for Abby Larico. The Green Party in Missouri just barely missed the threshold of votes needed to guarantee them a place on the ballot in the next two elections.
It feels very defeating, like pointless, to run in Missouri.
A look at why it's so difficult for third parties in Missouri and how that probably won't change. That's coming up on The Gateway. A global chemical company is expanding its local presence with a new $574 million manufacturing plant along the North St. Louis riverfront. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on ICL's facility that will make a key component for batteries.
The new plant will make lithium iron phosphate at a commercial scale, adding 153 high-paying jobs to the region. The proposal went before St. Louis's planned Industrial Expansion Authority Board Tuesday, which approved real and personal property tax abatements for the project. Phil Brown is president of ICL's Phosphate and Food Division. He says the company had planned to build the facility in South St. Louis, but realized that site wasn't ideal.
From a space perspective and also the geotechnical characteristics of the underlying land as well was not very suitable to a large industrial development.
Brown says the company will still have a pilot plant and innovation center in South City. He says the new facility will be the first plant of its kind outside of China. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Police officers in St. Charles County will get a little extra help in helping respond to individuals in a mental health crisis. A federal grant announced yesterday will fund the salary of an officer and a mental health provider who will follow up on 911 calls involving someone who is mentally ill. Amy Konsevich oversees mental health care in emergency rooms of SSM Health's hospitals in the region. She says police officers tell her they feel helpless when responding to individuals with mental illness, even with specialized training.
When it comes to knowledge about the comprehensive resources in the St. Louis and St. Charles region, they are very grateful for our presence and for our ability to come and provide empathy and provide support.
St. Louis County already has a similar program in place. The grant adds five more providers doing follow-up visits there. A second solar panel farm is now operational in East St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports Ameren, Illinois unveiled the 3,000-panel facility yesterday as the company works to increase its greener energy.
This $6.9 million farm was enabled through the state's Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. That legislation, known as CEJA, aims to transition the state to 100% renewable energy by 2050. Ameren, Illinois President and Chairman Lenny Singh says this new solar farm will power a portion of every Ameren customer in the eastern half of town.
This facility reinforces CEJA and Ameren's commitment to supporting the clean energy transition, and most importantly, bringing the benefits of the clean energy to local communities that have historically been left behind.
The massive utility provider finished its other, slightly bigger solar farm in East St. Louis 2 years ago. They have a similar project in East Peoria that remains ongoing. In East St. Louis, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois nursing homes that aren't meeting the state's minimum staffing levels will have to pay fines starting next year. The fine amount will depend on the daily cost of wages and benefits for missing staff hours. Donna Kruder is a nurse on the dementia floor at Pavilion of South Shore in Chicago. She says understaffing has been and continues to be a major problem.
I work with 38 patients and I'm the only nurse on the floor.
That's not right.
7-3 shift, 3-11 shift, and 11-7 only have one nurse.
State law requires a minimum staffing ratio of around 4 hours per resident per day. In 2022, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed into law a $700 million boost for nursing homes that increase their staffing levels. A study from the University of Georgia examines the distance between crisis pregnancy centers and abortion providers in Illinois. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Crisis pregnancy centers are often Christian-based nonprofits that offer services like ultrasounds and STI testing, but not abortion. Public health professor Andrea Schwarzendruber led the study. She says the study shows the need for clear messaging on what CPCs offer.
The entire state may benefit from more awareness about what the centers are, what their goals are, that they pose risk, that they don't adhere to medical and ethical practice standards.
The study found the state's median distance between a CPC and an abortion provider was about 2 miles. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The 2024 election is over, and Republicans swept Missouri. But Democrats aren't the only ones who are disappointed. As Harshan Ratanpal reports, the Green Party missed a major benchmark that would have helped them skip a significant hurdle in future races.
America's two-party political system makes it difficult to win without being a Democrat or Republican. One barrier for these candidates is getting their name on the ballot at all. In Missouri, small parties and independent candidates have to spend their resources collecting 10,000 valid signatures to get on the ballot. If they're successful, it doesn't leave them with a lot of time or money left.
The whole petitioning process really drains you, and then you have to have something left over to campaign with.
That's Danielle Elliott, the Missouri Green Party's candidate for lieutenant governor. If just one of the party's statewide candidates gets 2% of the vote, the party keeps its ballot access for 4 years without needing to get signatures again. The Missouri Green Party is one of the only ones that has to do this. Even with the state's Republican foothold, Democrats always easily exceed 2%, and even Libertarians have had consistent ballot access for decades. So in this year's election, the Green Party was hoping for a modest 2%. Elliott got 1.995%.
It feels very defeating, like, pointless to run in Missouri. I don't want to sound negative, but I don't know that I will do a state election again.
Les Hahn is a local member of the Green Party. He single-handedly collected around 1,000 signatures and says most of the pushback he receives is from Democrats.
People would refuse to sign because they felt like we were stealing votes from the Democrats. And as we know from the election outcome, that didn't happen.
There are reforms that could reduce the spoiler effect and make elections fairer. But lawmakers aren't interested in passing those and have done the opposite.
It's worth remembering that the legislatures that pass these measures are made up almost exclusively of Democrats and Republicans.
That's Gregory McGarian, law professor at Washington University.
The one thing that Democrats and Republicans generally can agree about is that they don't want anyone else horning in on their primacy.
McGarian says one of the most impactful of those reforms would be changing the way we vote. The winner of most elections in the U.S. is whoever gets a plurality of votes after a single round of voting. That incentivizes people to only vote for someone they think can win rather than who they actually prefer, so they don't split their votes. In contrast, a ranked choice voting system allows people to order candidates by preference. If their favorite candidate gets last place, then their vote goes to their second favorite candidate. The process repeats until a candidate has a majority.
And that kind of system is a lot friendlier to minor parties because a voter thinks, okay, I'm not just throwing away my vote. I can rank my preferences. So I can put the Libertarian first, and if she doesn't win, I can go for the Republican second.
But by passing Amendment 7 in this year's election, Missouri voters banned ranked choice voting, which the state doesn't use, and also banned non-citizens from voting, which was already illegal.
What we just saw here in Missouri is clearly a blueprint for the major parties to resist those reform efforts. They just write a jingoistic ballot measure that has some anti-immigrant stuff and, bury underneath it a ban on a voting system that ordinary voters have no idea what they're voting on.
McGarian thinks it can't get any worse for third parties. But as for Missouri's Green Party, they'll keep trying. Elliott says that while she's done running in statewide elections, she'll run for Jefferson County Council in 26 under the Green Party banner. But if she doesn't win, she says she's done with politics altogether. I'm Harshan Ratanpal.
That story came to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aul, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.